Thanks for listening to the Adam Carolla Show on Podcast One.
Give me the news with Grad. News with Gino Grad. Breaking viral. All those crazy Trump tweets. Give me news with Gino Grad. Trouble in the Middle East. Celebrity drunk meltdowns. Eat news with Gino Grad.
The news with Gina Grad.
All right, Tom Arnold is making his way here, and we'll just bring him in and he can sit in the news. All here right. we go, Gina
Sounds
Grad.
Sounds good. Well, the government shutdown and furloughs still going, and the TSA said one in 10 of its employees scheduled to work Sunday took the day off, with many citing financial limitations, quote unquote, preventing them from working. As CNN previously reported, TSA screeners have called out from work through the shutdown, and the problem has taken on heightened attention as the shutdown has worn on and unscheduled absences have ticked up. So for every 10 people that are supposed to scan your bag, one of them stayed home. The good news is that according to the TSA,
they weren't the good anyway.
Wait times are still within the normal window, they said, of about 30 minutes in standard lanes, 10 minutes in pre-check lanes, though they acknowledge that, quote, some airports experienced longer than usual wait times right now.
Yeah. The problem with most of the shutdowns is they're like 10 minutes long. As this one keeps going, it becomes like an employee that's taken extended leave of absence. And then after a while, you're like, where's Brett? It's like, does he work here anymore? Like, then he's coming back and like, I don't know. Do we need him?
Yep. No.
Hard to know he was gone.
Yeah. All right. How much is it, like 800,000 that are out of a job?
That's the number that they reported on the radio. And they said that we're going into our second round of paychecks.
I'm
going
to put a happy spin on this. A lot of these folks, you're going, these guys are living paycheck to paycheck, which you really shouldn't be doing if you're an adult, especially if you have kids. Now, they do get paid. They just don't get paid along the way. They will retroactively get paid. This could be the greatest savings account many of these people have ever created.
All of a sudden, a windfall.
That's right.
In February.
That's right. Mr. Brightside, when's the last time you took four or five paychecks and
socked them away.
Socked them away.
That's good.
Money should all go into a retirement account, not to be touched.
For savings.
Mm-hmm. That's goddamn great news. Well, speaking of, we talked a little bit about the Gary Sinise auction, and there's some new auction news. Banksy striking again. This time, nothing got destroyed or shredded in the process. But a mural by Banksy depicting a child enjoying falling snow that is, in fact, pollution from a burning trash can has been sold to a British art dealer. From one side, it's called Season's Greetings. So from one side of the mural, it's on a corner of kind of a lot there.
It's a block wall.
Yeah.
It's concrete, cement block is what it is. People call it cinder block, but it's probably cement block. And it goes up like 8 foot, and the kid's up at about 5 foot, and there's a dumpster on one side that the kid can't see burning trash.
It looks like he's just sort of spinning around and sort of basking in the glory of the night snowfall with his tongue out. And looking
kid
at
looks
all
like the Saints coach.
And on the other side, just around the corner, it's a big dumpster on fire. The entire mural had to be moved in one piece and will be displayed in Britain for 2 or 3 years. What do you think that went for?
I'm trying to think of moving it in one piece. That seems unlikely that you can pick up cinder block or concrete block wall. I just had to.
They probably moved it piece by piece, right?
Go through it. Yeah, I'm guessing you would break it down. So they put the mortar in between the blocks, and there's like a half inch space in between all the blocks. You'd have to sort of cut them up, you know, at the joint, and then sort of reassemble them. It'd be difficult to move in one piece, but it's doable.
Apparently they did it. I don't know how that would work either, but I figured you might.
Well, sometimes, so the blocks are hollow. They have two chambers.
Oh, right, right.
And they usually put rebar through the chamber and then fill it with cement.
Mm-hmm.
So it becomes solid, although the blocks are pretty light. So one could have there's a way to do it. You got to get out a big diamond blade and a wet saw and like cut it. And then you'd have to like strap plywood to both sides of it, you know, and kind of sandwich it in and entomb it or whatever. And then you need a forklift or something like really to green around. This is something that's going to go on because these street artists and these guys are doing like buildings and sides of buildings, and they're doing all the old downtown areas.
Yep.
And then they get reclaimed. And next thing you know, the side of the building is worth millions of dollars. Like, I mean, it's easy. Like, you can't plunder it like a Picasso and a Nazi, you know? Like, it's like you can't just take it all and throw it in the back of a truck, right. And it's on the building.
Yeah.
And there's, like, lawsuits and, like, who owns the building and whose painting is it? And there's all sorts of stuff going on. I'll say whatever it beat Gary Sinise's Jeep.
Oh, okay.
I was going to say millions. I'll say a million.
Interesting. Well, you guys are generous, and I like where your head's at, and I think that's good for the art community. This did sell for about $130,000 to a British dealer.
So pounds or dollars?
Dollars, about 100,000 pounds. So Banksy has some range in terms of what things sell for, and this didn't get shredded, but maybe part of the prank was that they had to move a building.
Do people know what Banksy looks like?
They don't even know his real name.
I'm sure there are some people, but his identity is anonymous.
Mm-hmm.
Street art. Hidden or whatever.
It's weird. Now,
I've called you guys.
His stuff looks good, at least. Like, people have been tweeting me pictures of just solid paintings that are just solid black or solid blue that are in the museums that just one solid color. Like, I don't know. Like, here's what I'm saying. I get the part where things can be different and there's fashion and there's the vanguard of things and being progressive and stuff like that. But, like, if you just took one quail egg and you broke it apart and you put it on a urinal patty and just gave it to me, I wouldn't announce it was great. I'd just go, I'd rather have an In-N-Out burger. That's me. But even if I was a connoisseur of different foods, I still couldn't call. It's literally a black canvas or a blue canvas that it's being put up in museums.
What? Celebrate it.
Oh, but how can anyone, I mean, with this straight face, without coming across like a Will Ferrell character from like Zoolander or something, how could you possibly call yourself an aficionado and like celebrate that?
Well, I did see one time, I don't know if it was a bumper sticker or a meme or on a button or something, but it said the definition of modern art. When someone says, I could have done that, and then the other person says, yeah, but you didn't.
Right.
So just because you were the first to think of putting a stripe down a black piece of paper,
yeah,
it qualifies.
I guess. I would argue, though, that a lot of people, it's that kind of Yoko Ono thing. It's like, you didn't think of it. I didn't think of it because it's horrible. Like, I didn't think of it because I thought I wouldn't think it would count. I would think you'd have to learn an instrument or sing a song or write a song. Or
like,
I didn't think about painting one canvas blue and giving it to the Guggenheim because I thought they'd punch me. I didn't think they'd accept it.
There's a good documentary streaming on HBO, if you're an HBO subscriber, called Banksy Does New York. You guys heard about this?
Yes.
Is that relatively new?
2014, I think. Yeah. Basically, he did a 30-day residency in New York where he revealed one piece of street art every day for a month and all around New York. And it's at once very thought-provoking and also it's great art because it teeters on the edge of thought-provoking and like, oh, what a blowhard. Like, oh my God, how pretentious. But then the rest of it, the other parts are like, wow, that's kind of genius. It's that perfect right down the middle, makes you think.
But the one thing I don't get about Banksy is if your identity is being protected and your style is pretty popular and we kind of know how it's done, what's to stop someone from just making Banksys all over the place?
Banksy has official social media outlets, and he often will say like, "Oh, I did this here," and he'll show his hand of the spray paint or something. You know what I mean? Or he'll show the back, like with the thing,
the shredder
itself.
Yeah.
Like he showed the background,
the point of view.
I guess, was his name Christoph? There was like an installation.
I'm pretty sure it was Christoph.
Installation.
He was the guy. Yeah, artist? he did the yellow stuff in Times Square. No, in
Park.
I have a cold, you guys.
In Central Park.
Yeah.
Yeah, and he did like an island with like all umbrellas and stuff like that.
He'd be
like,
"How the hell did you know his name?
What if we? I don't know why.
It's the perfect pretentious name.
It is.
That was the name of Van Harris's character in the Truman Show.
Chris. Yeah.
Also he'd be pretentious. Like,
what if we upholstered Mount Rushmore? And he did do it. And it, like, I get it. Like, you go, like, I guess it's interesting. Like,
what if
I definitely slow the car down and take a look-see if you did that. This half of the show brought to you by ButcherBox.com. Enter Adam and Stamps.com as well. Let me hit the ButcherBox here. Delivery of healthy 100% grass-fed and finished beef, free-range organic chicken and heritage breed pork directly to your door on a monthly basis. They got a new protein, wild Alaskan sockeye salmon. I love this stuff. Sustainably harvested from Bristol Bay, Alaska. The color tells you it's fresh and not factory farmed. All products are humanely raised, never given antibiotics or hormones. Taste is unbelievable. We all eat it here. We all love it here. It is much higher grade than you could even imagine. Free shipping anywhere in the U.S., except for Alaska and Hawaii. No commitment. Cancel at any time. Special offer. New subscribers get $20 off plus 2 pounds of the salmon free by going to ButcherBox.com. Entering the code Adam at checkout. Stuff is the best. It's all so good at ButcherBox.com. And let them know Adam sent you.
Are we really worried about the people in Alaska not getting enough salmon?
I was going to say, Hawaiian Alaska's go to your front lawn and go get yourself some fish. The Banksy wall piece will be kept there for 2 to 3 years.
Yep. Yeah. So the guy who was able to sell it was the guy who owned that garage. So Banksy paid it on his personal garage, and he was the one that was able to auction it off and get paid for it.
L.A. would definitely graffiti over the Banksy thing, right?
That's one of the great parts of that documentary Banksy Does New York, is how the locals start to like. There's guys who. Much like a drug dealer will claim a corner, there are guys who like literally just set up shop like, this is ours now. And there's people who are like ripping it off or painting over it. The social interaction was amazing.
Mm. Turf war.
To your point.
All right.
Well, the death toll from Friday's pipeline explosion in Mexico has reached 89 as I read this. This is according to Reuters. So this is crazy. The blast occurred as hundreds of people were trying to collect gas that was gushing out of this pipeline. 51 people were taken to the hospital with burns. Dozens more are missing. Many of the dead were burned so badly that authorities are unable to identify them. DNA samples have been collected from family members to try and match these victims. So there's a gas shortage in Mexico. So a puncture in a pipeline drew hundreds of people running towards it with plastic jugs. Gasoline theft has been a big problem
in
Mexico.
Trump tweeted that human Molotov cocktails were trying to enter this country.
You
think MS-13's bad? Wait till someone on fire runs into your community.
You're absolutely right. So what soldiers are doing now, they're positioned at various sections of the pipeline with guns, but they're ordered to please try not to engage people because, you know, gunfire and gasoline's not
great. So it's like refined, finished gasoline.
It must be. And people are running towards it with jugs.
Jesus Christ.
Because there's such a gas shortage.
Full Thunderdome over there. Yeah. You know, I was hearing somebody talking about, but, you know, and I'll figure it out one of these days, but Mexico has a lot of potential. Like, I was a horrible student, but I didn't have potential. And then I had other friends who were like, oh, you're so smart, you're so everything, you're just not living up to your potential. Mexico's got a lot of land, a lot of tourism. Mm-hmm. It's not that crowded. It's got a lot of natural resources. Like, it has all the makings of a fine country. It's not like you're Mexico. Your earth is cursed and you shall never be. There's plenty of reasons potentially for Mexico to be successful. Yeah. They've got to kind of get the corruption out of there and implement a couple good ideas and get going. And there's no reason why they couldn't have a really be super successful.
You should tell them that.
I should tell them that.
Listen up.
Yeah, Mexico.
Well, it's Razzie time. Everybody loves Razzie time. We have the nominations. We got some big leaders in the club.
Scoop the Oscars.
Yes, 39th annual Golden Raspberry Awards. The nominations are out. I'll give you a couple. Worst picture. We have a pretty tight race. We have Gotti, The Happy Time Murders.
Gotti's really bad.
Holmes and Watson, which kind of came and went with Will Ferrell and John C. Reilly. Robin Hood and Winchester. Those are the leads for worst picture.
Winchester, the rifle?
Brian, do you know anything about Winchester?
No. Is it about the house?
Is literally all you need to know. Brian has never heard of it.
The mystery house.
Yeah, it's the haunted house.
God, man. Worst $32 I ever spent in my goddamn life.
Going into all the nooks and crannies?
Seen the movie twice?
It's the worst. I went on a tour of the Winchester Mystery House because, like, I was in, what's it, outside of Sacramento or Fresno or some one of those places. I was just there, and you do two shows at the, you know, at the comedy store or whatever, the improv. You got all day. You got nothing going on. You're just, it's a weird schedule if you're going to go do multiple shows.
San Jose area?
Yeah, you go to the San Jose improv. You're doing the whole weekend. You got nothing going on during the day. So you end up going to the Winchester Mystery House, and God damn, did it suck.
No good. Yeah.
You have the trailer, Dawson? All right.
It's the biggest tourist trap in American history.
Oh, that one.
People pay up to $50 to walk through it.
It's a gargantuan seven-storied structure with no apparent rhyme or reason.
The Winchester Mystery House.
Each maze of halls more confusing than the next.
But in the down economy, the business is in the red.
It was built on the orders of a grieving widow.
So Lionsgate hired Academy Award winner Helen Mirren.
Do you believe in ghosts, Doctor?
To try and get more of your money. Leonard Maltin exclaims, just like the goddamn house, they open doors in this movie that don't go anywhere. Winchester.
It's easy to see why it didn't do well.
It doesn't even have the furniture in it. It's like you're walking through an old crappy house.
And did you have to stay with a group? Could you go exploring at least?
Luckily, the group was just me in August, I think. But it's weird. It's like it's so much of nothing. It's something you hear about a lot growing up if you grow up out here, mm-hmm. and then it's a big fat fucking zero.
Indulge me and give me some more nominees.
Well, I love the worst scene combo nominations. This is the worst scene combo. So Happy Time Murders, any two actors or puppets, and especially in those creepy sex scenes, which apparently there are.
So was that a movie that just didn't work and we found out it didn't work after it came out?
Yeah.
Like it had potential, but it just, when you're going for something, no different than food. Like there's sometimes you think of whatever, mm-hmm. like, chicken skewers with sweet peanut sauce. Yeah. What was that going to taste like? And then you go, it works.
Right.
Like, it works,
satay.
But it cannot work.
Yeah. It's like Team America, like puppets in an R-rated movie.
Right.
Oh, yeah, it worked.
Well, and Avenue Q, which was a very dirty Broadway musical involving puppets, was a Tony Award-winning celebrated musical. So this had potential, but it didn't work.
Yeah.
Sherlock Gnomes. Being nominated for Johnny Depp in his fast-fading film career. That's the duo. Will Ferrell and John C. Reilly trashing two of literature's most beloved characters in Holmes and Watson.
Watch trailers for comedy and do kind of my 8-second head trauma rule. If you see head trauma within the first 8 seconds of a trailer, not funny. Mm-hmm. If it's a comedy, because it's all they got is pow.
Sure.
And you can watch some trailers that have multiple head traumas all the way through the trailer.
Trauma.
No jokes. Just people just getting hit in the head with snow shovels. Like head trauma in 2019, still a big deal. Yeah. Like way, way, way past the Three Stooges. Yeah. They'll open with like just head trauma. And
walking
that's how you know. Probably. I just remember seeing that trailer going head trauma. If you see a lot of head trauma early and often in a comedy, it means they're out of jokes.
Sign.
Yep.
It's real good to know. Here it is. We have some of the Watson and Holmes.
Hey, girl.
Hey, girl.
Over by the window, the lighting's much better.
Yes, yes. Oh, they just whacked the queen in the face.
Mother of shit.
All right. A lot of head trauma. It's funny that we still think it's funny, especially after all these NFLers.
And the boys are back in town. Bold choice.
Oh, yeah.
Bold, fresh choice.
Yeah, they could have played bad to the bone and put their sunglasses on.
The last two in that category, Donald Trump and his
Speaking of head trauma, was great. It was funny. We gotta see. We'll find it for tomorrow's show. But I was watching Marshawn Lynch on Bill Maher's show. First off, Bill Maher was like petting him. Like hey, man. Hey, man.
Something so exotic.
Hey, man. Literally like petting him. Bill Maher doesn't touch anybody ever. And he like kept like, hey, man. Hey, man. Hey, man. And it was.
Well, they for sure got high together.
Wow.
Before the show.
It was really funny. Like he was literally like petting him. And then he did that thing that you do to like a big kid, like, hey, boy, look at him. Look at him. He's sturdy. He's sturdy. And I just keep like that. But you've never seen Bill Maher doesn't touch people. he was touching him the whole time, doing the hey man. But the thing that was funny is he was like going, aren't you worried about head trauma? And Marshawn Lynch was like, yeah, I use my head to traumatize other guys. And he's like, no, your head trauma. And he's like, yeah, once the head goes, the body will fall. And he's like, yeah, no.
That sounds great.
Trauma, yeah. Like your head. Right. I use my head to bust people up. It was like, it was funny because he was sort of making Bill's point, sort of, whatever.
Was
but I can't tell if he was like, kid. It's hard to tell.
Was he trolling him because isn't he kind of famous for that? Is he that?
Presumably he was on a talk show to talk.
Right, but doesn't he do this anyway? Isn't that why I know who he is? Thank you for the question.
No, he wasn't doing that move. It was a little hard to tell of whether he fully ingested Bill's question
or
was just fucking around with him or exactly, or in fact he had a little too much head trauma.
I guess,
yeah. And anyway, it was kind of funny. Tom is now 10 minutes. we're wrapping this up.
See him on the way out.
All right. We'll see how this works.
Do you want to hear worst actress and worst actor?
Yes.
Noms? Okay. So worst actress, Jennifer Garner in Peppermint, Amber Heard in London Fields, Melissa McCarthy for Happy Time Murders and Life of the Party, Helen Mirren for Winchester, and Amanda Seyfried in The Clapper, which I've never heard of. Mm. Worst actor, Johnny Depp for Sherlock Gnomes, Will Ferrell for Holmes and Watson, John Travolta for Gotti, Trump as himself in Death of a Nation and Fahrenheit 11/9, and Bruce Willis in Death Wish.
Do you have, we have Bill petting Marshawn Lynch, but I like the head trauma question the best for him.
We'll get that one next.
Sorry.
Marshawn Lynch is here. All right. So glad you're here. It's that football time of year. Only three games left. The big conference championship.
Him still on him. Is him still on him?
Caressing him.
Is him still on him?
Great. Thank you. And then the Super Bowl. So somebody on my staff said, you know,
never seen him touch a human. But yeah, we'll find a head trauma.
He was holding him away. He was stiff arming.
I got no problem with it, but it was funny because Bill Maher's not that guy. Yeah, Cal Berkeley used to get their ass kicked every single year until they started letting Marshawn Lynch in. And then
Deshaun Jackson.
They started winning a little more. Yep.
All right. Well, speaking of that, speaking of big brooding athletes, Manny Pacquiao, big winner in the ring over the weekend, but not everything went his way. His home was burglarized less than 24 hours after his defeat of Adrian Broner. So according to TMZ, someone on Manny's team phoned the LAPD to report the break-in. There were signs of forced entry. The home was ransacked. They don't know exactly what's missing, but Manny wasn't there. He was still in Vegas.
Well, there's a whole ring now that's basically, you guys are professional athletes. You have a lot of cash and jewelry and watches.
I can keep an eye on you.
I can keep an eye on the TV while you're away.
I don't even have to buy the pay-per-view. I know where you're going to be.
Yep.
I know for how long you're going to be there for. And so when Yasiel Puig goes out on the road, then we know the homestand and we know the road schedule and we'll just go in then.
Yeah, everybody knows it.
I think that there's kind of a conceit, which is, yeah, people have security cameras and alarms, but all I got to do is kick in a window, run in and grab a couple of Rolexes and a few chains and leave. I don't really care that the alarm's going off. I can get it all done. And LAPD's, I don't know what their batting average is on finding guys who do this, but I'm guessing 100%. it's not great. So it's like, so you got an alarm or so you got a whatever. We got to get back to Dobermans.
Yes.
Nobody fucked with Dobermans. Right. That was a whole world
that
there with
that
Dobermans.
Yeah.
Dobermans, I mean, they do a whole thing. We'd put a pork chop on a string and drag it or whatever it is. But people don't fuck with a Doberman.
Never. And that was the hot thing. And at least get the signage. You know, steal somebody else's ADT sign. Steal somebody else's Doberman sign.
Yeah. Oh, we have the head trauma. I think you guys are going to laugh at this. You guys tell me what Marshawn was doing. Now, Marshawn could be pretty high about now, but let's just listen to Marshawn talk.
So how much longer are you going to play? Because it's a dangerous game, and you're a very bright guy. You don't want to, you know, every football player, they study the brains after they die, and, you know, there's just not good things going on in the brain. Do you worry about that?
I do. I mean, that's why I hit everybody with my head. I'm head first into everything.
You hit them with your head?
I do. It's got to be the first thing to go. Hit him with the head and the body will fall.
Don't know. I think that's where this conversation was going. But you don't want to do that, Beast Mode.
You're patting him again.
Right, you're right, but it's been my best weapon. And it's led me to
I know, but let's think
seat.
About the future.
Touch
Are
him
you
going to
play next year?
I mean, if it works out that way, then I will.
It sounds like Trump. We'll see what happens.
I can't tell. What's your take on that? I mean, Marshawn does say, I'll just keep hitting him. I just bowl him over. Like, I've heard him say that a few times.
I think the most, the most telling comment was when he was like, it's led me to this seat here. Like, there is a very, like, I think for players in the league now, like guys who have come up with brain, like in their lives, you know, with like when they're in the era of brain trauma and CTE, they're like, oh no, I know the risks. This is my lottery ticket. I may not live to 50. I may not live a good life between 50 and 70, but I'm going to be a goddamn multimillionaire, and this is going to provide for my family.
You don't think he would have made the same kind of money with his own consulting firm out of Oakland?
There was a lesser chance. I'm not saying it wouldn't happen. I'm just saying there's a lesser chance.
It's a naysayer.
I do. I was with you with the meatloaf.
I'm telling you, man. I think for all the guys in the league, if you're to ask, like, hey, knowing the risks, would you have never done it? I'm thinking 99.5% would be like, nope, still would do it.
Well, again, it is sort of Rich Whitey, who makes his living off his brain, talking to inner city guy would have worked at a fucking car wash or something, never had a chance to make this kind of coin.
Of course.
And it's so weird when we graft onto them. Oh, what about your future? Yeah. It's like,
my future?
About now.
I'm worth $12 million.
Now, we should ask everyone who comes from Marshawn, who he grew up with in his neighborhood around Oakland, see how they're doing.
Yeah,
some
and if
of
they
them
trade
aren't
places
here.
With them.
Wasn't head. No, the trauma was the bullet to the head, not the repeated head trauma. All right.
Well, in its assessment of the most dangerous states to drive in, yourmechanic.com looked at
with a boner.
That goes without
horny,
saying.
Horny, right?
Yeah. At a variety of factors, including average driver speeds and speed limits and road and bridge quality, congestion levels, everything. Also among the studied factors, the average skill level of each driver, which the site figured out using data on driver fatality rates and general, as well as more specific death rates, such as fatalities caused by high speed and drunk driving.
Well, LA or states or California, like, we don't have ice.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And we have ice, but
not in LA.
La Migra. It's different.
But we don't speed that much because we're in traffic a lot. But then when traffic clears, we overcompensate probably by going, fuck it, I'll make up some time now. There's that. Also, we probably have a low skill level because I tell people a lot about, you know, same thing with driving as it is about soccer. When I go, why can't we win at soccer? We have the best athletes around. How can we win at soccer? And everyone goes, these guys grew up in Hungary. Their grandfathers played soccer.
They
their fathers,
the
like,
blood.
Everyone played born. And like
they had a ball in the crib.
In Germany, everyone grew up driving.
Right.
Half the people here grew up on a fucking donkey, and now they're in front of me.
Well, I have the states with the least skilled drivers, and I'm going to spoil it for you right now. Top 10 states, California did not make the list.
I think California has some skilled drivers.
Mm-hmm.
So I have it here. Just start from 10, and I'll work my way to number one. Alabama, North Carolina, New Mexico, Delaware, Nevada, Texas, South Carolina. Now, top three, Arizona, Louisiana, and Montana.
I'm going to say this. I will bet there is some sort of correlation or a little crossover between the fattest states and the worst driving. It's got to be. It's not a physical sport, but it's not.
It does take some.
Some doing.
If you have those arms that some of those chicks are like sleeveless at the mall wear, the big swinging like as a counter pendulum when you turn right,
the
they
Newton's,
go left.
The Newton's cradle arms.
It affects your momentum.
It's also just a general philosophy of like Arizona. They strike me as being thinner, leaner, meaner, and better drivers for some reason.
They're pretty high up on that least skilled drivers
Oh,
list.
They are.
Yeah.
Well, then I'm off.
Montana
Hold
makes
on.
Sense.
Yeah, but still.
So
much
open space. You know, you imagine your skills might erode in terms of dealing with heavy traffic.
Yeah, I visited South Carolina once, and it was super fun. But the girl I was there with, her family, very small town that nobody's ever heard of, and they kind of run things. We get in the car. Everybody has an open can of beer. I'm like, can we do that? I don't think so. Like,
South Carolina live show.
So I think that it could have maybe a little more to do with drunk driving on some of these. Oh. When there's less to do, but go around, you know, drink beer and drive around. I also heard on the way in, there's a woman proposing. She's head of, I don't know, driver safety something association. And I have been saying this for years, and everyone thought I was being an ageist asshole. And I'm so glad someone's backing me up. That she's proposing a mandatory retaking of your driver's test when you hit 80. I always thought it should be 75. But she said,
is it not 80?
Like, there is none.
What?
There is none. You just drive until someone tells you to stop driving. Or you get your car taken away or whatever. Because she says there is such a steep drop off in skill level at 80.
It's considered ageist to suggest?
I have been saying this forever. And people said that's incredibly prejudiced to me. I'm like, well, if my eyesight started going, or if my reflexes, or if I couldn't see over the dashboard, if I was whatever the problem was, you'd think somebody would want to keep an eye on me, make sure I should be on the road.
I agree.
So that's that could be coming up as well.
Look, a car is a potential weapon, obviously. And we're super sort of, I've always said it's interesting. Like, think of it as a slow moving 5,000-pound bullet. We have no fear. It's weird how we're wired. Like, if someone pulls a gun out, whatever, it's not loaded, point it down, yep. Point it down. You know what I mean? There's nothing even in it. Like, no, it does not matter. You never, you know, whatever, whatever. I see people kind of routinely, like, standing in parking lots, like, talking, and you're backing out of the parking space, and you're, like, facing them and stuff. They don't even turn around. Like, I don't know. What if my foot slips or something, or I sneeze, or I've had the world's worst day, or I decide you're coming with me. Like, people almost don't even get out of the way half the time. Like, they literally turn their back. People walk across the street texting, yep, and stuff. Like, what is up? There is not a healthy fear. And yes, I agree with you 100%. You should learn how to drive that. You should be recertified every year after your 75th birthday.
Well,
so
yeah.
First up, first things first. Old people, you got nothing to do. It's not like,
this is something.
Oh, it's not like, oh, you're 81. Oh, yeah, I'm fucking all day, and then I got to go run some board meetings or something. You're home. My grandparents, when they were old, they were around. You know what I mean? The DMV's actually a nice outing.
Yeah.
Yes.
A nice outing
for you old people.
Nice young people.
All right.
Yeah, talk to all kinds of people waiting in line.
Yes.
You're going to be there for a while.
There. That's
give out
right.
Some more of those originals.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Hard candies.
Some hard candy. Some taffy.
Yeah.
Yeah, some butterscotch taffy.
And
yeah.
The little hard candy strawberries that came in the strawberry packaging. Yeah. Remember those?
Those are bad. Yeah. My grandparents love those.
God, so did mine.
Yeah.
All
it's
right.
All over.
Yeah.
It's all over. It's over. I tell you, it's over. I walked in my daughter's. We're moving into a new house. I'm trying to move today. You guys picture this. Picture this. In the realm of stuff we would have never done in front of other people's parents, right?
Mm-hmm.
So I marvel when I just come into my house and my daughter's sitting there with her friends and they're just eating French fries. They're sitting on the sofa, just hand fries, like on their, they got the thing on their thigh, you know? And I'm like, I walk in, they don't look up. And I'm like, oh my God, if Mr. Vendig walked in and we're sitting on a sofa eating or whatever, people would have jumped up and ran to the kitchen. Oh, you've never even chanced.
Nothing.
You would never chance being in that, mm-hmm, whatever. So we get new carpet in Natalia's bedroom, brand new carpet, wall to wall, beautiful, and just installed. And I come in there today when I'm running around, and her friend, who had been roller skating with Natalia, has roller skated through the house and roller skated right on from outside, by the way.
No.
They were outside in the roller skates, and now she's roller skating on the brand new carpet. And I'm like going, what are you doing? And she's like, what? And I'm like, oh my God, could you imagine wearing roller skates on somebody's brand new carpet inside
steps.
Their house? I would not how many million light years away from that would you be?
No.
And then when the dad is standing there in the door going, hey, what's going on? You're like, yeah, what's up, old guy?
You tell me.
Everything
you do as a kid is to avoid that moment with the dad.
Yeah.
You know, standing there yelling at you.
She was like, shouldn't you be at the DMV, bitch, getting renewed, you old fuck? And I'm like, no, I'm not that old. And oh, yeah? Find a mirror, douche.
In your own home.
It was weird.
Tell your
like,
face.
Wearing rollers. Now, she's not bad. She just doesn't. Then grow up in this world where like parents aren't even allowed to say I said to her, hey, take your roller skates off. Don't come in on the new carpet with your roller skates from outside. And she's like, okay.
Whatever you say.
Yes, it's crazy. It's fucking nuts.
And you are the jack off in that situation to her.
Oh yeah. Like, if Lynette was standing next to me, she would have went like, just leave her alone. Like, why are you bugging her? Like, it's crazy. It's crazy upside down world.
It's amazing.
It is crazy.
Yeah. She wasn't sent home and her parents didn't yell at her the second she walked in the door.
Oh my God. First off, not only was it my friend's family, dad's mom's, all their friends were all deputized, like the parents' friends.
Sure.
Like if that was Joyce,
yep,
she'd be like, young man, excuse you, young man, you should take your skates off and march. A lot of marching going on. And march yourself outside. And then they're talking on, like, their mouthpieces, they become publicists for the parents. If Mr. Carolla or Mrs. Carolla were to see this, they would be very, sure, young lady, take the skates off, march yourself, and you march it outside, you take it outside, and you march. You take this baton and this tall furry hat, and you march outside,
Grand
you put
Marshall.
This glockenspiel on, and march. It's almost halftime. You march out onto that 50-yard line. It's a lot of marching.
And then they play Good Cop. No, I won't tell them. Yeah. Just this once. I won't tell them.
Oh, my God. Just roller skating through my new house on a new carpet. It's not at all. It's over, by the way.
Yeah.
It's over. All right. Let me tell you about stamps.com. Tom.
He's walking in now.
We're leaving. Oh. Tom Arnold's here. Stamps.com. One day, New Year's resolution you can actually keep. Stop going to the post office. Or don't march to the post office. Save time, save money by using Stamps.com. Instead of going to the post office, you can buy and print official U.S. postage for any letter, any package with your computer or printer. Then the mail carrier picks it up. Just click print and mail, and you are done. We use it here and right now. Special offer, 4-week trial plus postage and digital scale. Start the new year off right. You go to stamps.com. Click the microphone, top of the homepage, type in Adam, that is stamps.com. Enter Adam, get the scale, get the 4-week trial, mm-hmm, plus the postage, all at stamps.com. Tom Arnold is finally here. Tom Arnold's got a movie out called Dead Ant in theaters now and on demand. Starting this Friday. And you can check out his website at TomArnoldComedy.com.
Oh, I got to update stand-up. That. I forgot I had that.
Yeah, update it.
There's nothing on it.
You got a boxing match coming up?
Oh, yeah. Well, perhaps.
Perhaps.
That's right. That is right. Yes. Yes. Are you talking about the... what are you talking about?
I was told
yes,
that you were boxing someone who disagrees with you, probably politically, for charity.
Oh, yes. Yes, we're putting that together. Mike Cernovich, Weird Mike. I was going to box him probably a year and a half ago, 2 years, and then he backed out. And I was going to box Jesse James in his place, and then he backed out. And then it's back on. He came back up, and as soon as I organized this...
Jesse James from the Monster Garage?
Yes,
Jesse
from
James?
The guy... Yep.
Why were you going to box Jesse James?
Well, I was. He went on the InfoWars with Mike Cernovich and said, I got this one. I will box him in your place. And that's why I watched that. I go, okay, I guess it's him. And then he decided not to because I'm not sure why. And then,
I feel like most people don't want to box, and then a small group really want to box.
Right.
There's not a lot. They're kind of on the fence. And then most people, when they pipe up and go, I will box, wish they didn't have to box. So that's probably what happened.
Right. Well, so what I told that what Cernovich came back online on this, that I said, I got to get it organized. By the way, he has no organizational stuff. He's like, would you do it? It has to be March 1st at CPAC, which is the conservative thing in Washington, D.C. Mm-hmm. And I thought, well, that's a good thing, because then I could box him, and then I could get – there's a whole bunch of those yahoos out there, all the conservative guys that are anti-gay and such pro-Trump, you know, those crazy evangelicals. I mean, I'll accomplish a lot. I said, well, what are your – who are you connected with organizationally? He said, nobody. Mm-hmm. I said, what kind of boxing? Nobody. So I'm organized, and I have to get a boxing. The same people that did my match versus my rabbi, and I'm getting it all set up. I said, what hotels are you connected to? Or what auditoriums or whatever? He said, none.
Yeah.
So I'm doing that. You. I have a thing for the Thousand Oaks shooting victims first, so we have to get locked down this month, and then I will finish this second charity event.
The Thousand Oaks guys, I mean, we've played Borderline quite a few times, and it's so sad. And to make things sadder, a huge wildfire swept through.
That's the problem.
And not, 27 hours later, and knocked them off the front page. Yeah. They literally, it's like the only thing more tragic than a mass killing that way is nobody knowing about it, because everybody being consumed with something that took place 24 hours later, rightfully so. But in terms of raising money and doing all the things you would normally do in a news cycle where it makes a couple of rounds and whatever, gone the next day with the wildfire.
And also they had no home to go back to.
Right. Right. So we're going to go to the Candy Club. They're going to let us have it, and we're going to do a big thing out there in February, and we'll set that in the next couple days. And Anita Bush, I don't know if you know her, but this money will go right to the victims, and we're going to have that set. And then I'm going to fight fucking Cernovich for post-traumatic stress. Guys, my friends are in the Department of Defense, which is in Washington, D.C., so I do have – it will help me there. He's also going to be there for the Yahoo convention. But I will box him. But I'm going to
How's your skill? Your boxing
Not skilled. Not like you. But I will fight him for sure.
Would you like to gain some skill?
Yes, I will. I would.
I mean, without taking on a full-time client here as a trainer, I can tell you that the thing that works the best is literally just moving the person's hands with your hands. If you throw I shall demonstrate for you. But, you guys can narrate for a second. I think about this all the time. But if you're doing this on the street, you can do it on the street, too. If someone's going to, you know, you need to.
Step two.
I'm not saying
step to you.
Yeah, don't just find a random woman leaving a Starbucks and do it. But
put your hands up,
somebody's really doing
it. I'm fighting Mark Cernovich. Step over here.
Yes. All right. It's just get the hands to move and move them. All right. So just do that.
They both just took their headphones off.
They're going to square off.
The focus pads and the gloves are always in the studio. Oh, going bare knuckled.
Do that. Okay. That's all. Go down and go like that. Because both his hands will come down.
Go down there and then both those.
Just kind of do that. And then go down. And that's it.
Okay.
That's all you need to do.
Okay.
It'll work.
Tom's wind, is that a bad sign? I'm messing around.
Okay, that's
it'll
good.
It'll work every time. Just go down and then up.
But it'll just throw. Take it down. Take it up.
Throw two or three shots to the midsection, but you got to do it with your lead hand, with your left hand, and then just throw the next one right to the head.
You're sharp. You have sharp.
It'll work.
You strike sharp.
It'll work.
Yeah.
I guarantee. Now, don't just get into the moving forward, clubbing at the head kind of thing, because then they'll just sort of cover up. Get him to move his hands down.
Yeah.
Throw a couple to the body and then right up top.
Man. You come out.
Like it'll work. I guarantee it. But here's what won't work. What happens is the adrenaline kicks in and everything's out the window.
Right.
This is the problem with the amateur fight is you train, And then it becomes, here's what it is. It's like if you train for an earthquake and you go, all right, family comes together here. We'll meet in the door, stand in a door jam. You go for the auxiliary power. I'll go for the dry frozen food. And then an earthquake hits and you just scream, we're all going to die. You're all going to die. And you run out the fucking front lawn and get hit by a car.
Right.
Like that's what happens in these celebrity fights.
Yes.
You have to figure out a way to have that earthquake hit and not jump up and yell, we're all going to die, and have all the fucking training and all the drilling go out the window, which is what happens.
Right.
Because the adrenaline just ruins, it ruins fucking, it ruins fighting, it ruins everything. Like, it just, when you get a huge flood of adrenaline, well, it's the enemy of technique.
Who was it? Tyson who said, everyone has a plan until I get punched in the face.
Right.
Right.
Well, even when he Marshawn was doing Lynch that, when he squared that. Up, I felt adrenaline.
Right,
like,
right.
How do I get to your throat?
You know, what I would say is have that combination, just throw that combo over and over and over. You do it in the shower.
Yeah.
Do it when you're standing in your bedroom. Just literally throw that thing so the muscle memory becomes that.
But I'm also, what would you do if you're weighed a lot more than the other person? He's going to be in better shape than me. He looks like he's taking steroids but I think he's shorter, but I'm going to weigh a lot more. Mm-hmm. What would you, can you lead in? Could you?
I think you go full Joey Buttafuoco fighting She Shall Be Missed. Oh God, what's that female?
Oh, with China?
China.
Oh, Christ.
Joey Buttafuoco fought China. And Joey Buttafuoco.
Maybe we don't need to make America great again.
Joey Buttafuoco was not only fighting a woman, but he was roughhousing her and physically, like, throwing her around. Like, it was the most Joey Buttafuoco moment of all time. Like he was fighting a woman.
And really giving it to
her. And he was, like, leaning on her and doing, like, dirty boxing and throwing her around. You ever see that?
I got offered $1 million to do that before he did it.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
To fight China?
Yep. And Fox. And we could be talking about me.
I got offered to fight China, too.
Yeah, see?
I did, too. See? I was like, well, wait,
I wanted the order now.
How can this work? I was thinking, like,
exactly.
There's two ways this can work. I could beat the shit out of a woman, or a woman could beat the shit out of me. Either way, there's him just whooping up on.
Oh, my God.
Like, he's grabbing her.
He's grabbing her, though. He threw her on the ground. Wait, go back. Go back 20 seconds. Watch this, Gina. Now he's
trying to grab her. That's not allowed. That's not allowed. That's definitely not allowed.
And tosses her like a rag doll.
That's awesome.
She'll be
I would like to resurrect Sir Walter Raleigh. This is what our society's devolved to. Yeah. Oh, you put your cape down in a puddle so a woman could walk across it?
We put her in the puddle.
This guy owns a transmission shop. His girlfriend, his underage girlfriend, shot his wife in the face, and now we're repaying him.
Yes. Livia, I have to ask you about something. Mark Burnett.
Yes.
This guy.
Yeah.
So I go to this party. And this guy was a special forces guy in the UK, so he's not a real special forces guy. And this happened this year at the night before the Emmys party. Have you been to that party?
No.
So this guy who's a CEO of MGM Television, he has 6 shows on the air. He's the most powerful man in show business.
Mark Burnett.
Yep.
Yep.
He's at the top of the stairs. I get there with Brian Fogel, who's invited me, who won the Oscar for Best Documentary this last year for Icarus, Russian doping scandal.
Talked a lot about that.
The last minute, he says, you want to go with me to this party? Are you going? I said, no. Everybody hates me in show business. I have the Trump show, which is I just wrapped. Mm-hmm. It's coming on, and people hate me. Mark Burnett is suing me because of it. And so we get to this party. We're the last people to get there. And at the top of the stairs to get into the party is Mark Burnett. And he's standing there like this, looking down, like, and with his buddies. And it's a weird coincidence. And he's like, that's Tom Arnold. I'm not going to let him into the party, mates. Mm-hmm. And he's got his chest out. I'm like, oh, fuck. Fucking Mark Burnett's going to try to block me coming to this stupid party like high school. I mean, he's got his, this is so stupid. So I start walking up the stairs. I'm with little Brian Vogel, mm-hmm. who has no idea who Mark Burnett is. Mm. And I'm like, this is, we're the last people at that party. They have the Target dog, the sponsor, to take, that's the only person on the red carpet with us. And the dog won't even pose with us. It's embarrassed.
Wow.
And so we're walking to this party. I get, going up the top of the stairs. I'm like, fuck him. But then I'm like, oh, fuck this. So I'm going to walk around Mark Burnett. So I start walking around him, and as I get the last stair, he clamps down so fucking hard, does that, and I didn't see him do it, and I, it knocks
you on
back.
The bottom of the neck.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I go backwards. I about fall down backwards down these mm-hmm. stairs, and I grab his waistband, and I go, motherfucker, you better let me get fucking even with you again so we can fight fair. And as I pull myself up, Susie does this, the guy Jeff Probst, who's the host of Survivor, yeah. standby, goes, oh my God, you're choking him. Oh my God, Mark. And they start pulling him off, and it pulls me up to the top of the stairs, and then we get square, and then this is what people saw at the party. Hey, you fucking crazy fuckers. And then I fucking am able to open up on him. Mm-hmm. Fucking, he has a gold Jesus chain, mm-hmm. and he has an open face shirt, pink with his hair, fucking Jesus chain. Get a couple, and I see it in his eyes. He's like, what the fuck did I just do? Like, he lost his shit to do that to me.
Is, ironically, Jeff Probst. Where's the choker? Nobody does. No one looks better in a choker than Probst.
But
and
how
and,
crazy is that?
Well, there was a. Well, didn't you file a lawsuit? Did it get thrown out? What's going on with it?
No. Here's the thing. And then his wife. Okay, so it's a scrub. So people pull him off. I ripped his shirt off. They take him this way. I go, don't let that fucker leave. That fucker assaulted me. The cops. They take me outside. They go like this. You know, this is a charity. The cops are coming. I go, okay, bring him right here, right now. We will finish this privately. Mm-hmm. And they're like, oh, Tom, we can't do that. This isn't the old days. Finally, this Jeff Katzenberg comes. Okay, come on back in. He's here somewhere. Don't kill him. Enjoy the party. By the way, then his wife tweets a picture of a fake bruise. Roma Downey, beloved. She's beloved in Hollywood. Have you ever heard a bad word about her?
Never. No, I've never heard anyone talk shit about Roma Downey.
We're about to.
She tweets a picture and says, oh my God, Tom Arnold attacked me and my husband at a Hollywood party because of his stupid TV show. Is it worth it, Tom? People love her. Christians all over the world love her.
Oh, that's right. Because yeah. she's always like on Touch by an Angel
yes.
or something
they
like
speak,
that.
She heals people around the world. That's a fact.
Does she?
Yes.
Are they both very religious?
Well, That's funny. Read Patrick Keefe's New Yorker piece about him. It just came
no
out.
Fucking
investigate.
Way.
No, it's crazy. Listen to me.
I got shit to
she
do.
She tweets that.
I'm read
they
a fucking
tweet
expose
that.
On Roma Downey.
But let me ask you this. If I did attack the most powerful man in showbiz and his fucking wife at a Hollywood party, would I not be asked to leave the Hollywood party? No. I was the last person to leave there.
Yes.
So that's a weird thing to have happened.
You'd be arrested.
I would be arrested. Right?
Yeah, I agree.
At what point? At what
well,
point is this guy?
Let's talk about at what point.
Yes.
Because, I feel in a way, because we go so far back, and I've seen you in so many stages of your life.
But ask that question right there. Is there something weird where that is okay. Okay, forget about me. Let's say you see me at all these stages.
Mm-hmm.
But is that okay?
No. Well, look, none of it's okay.
But is it okay that the guy that created the myth of Donald Trump and his cover for him and was in with him at the State Department 2 weeks ago?
I don't know. I feel like everyone knew who Trump was before he put him on his show.
Okay. Is it okay that guy flew to Syria four times to meet the Bashar or whatever his name is to do a reality show with him in 2017?
Ooh.
Like and he was with Putin in 2015. Is it okay?
Well, here, okay. Tom, I feel the need to intervene here for
okay.
a second by saying this. I think about this stuff all the time. You know, there's so much going on. There's so much insanity. It's a kind of a what's in that hot dog. You'll never eat another hot dog. There's that sort of.
I know what's in the hot dog. I worked at a meatpacking plant for
right.
3 years.
Well,
okay?
That's true. You do know what's
I
in
do
the
know what's
hot dog.
Dog.
I'm saying at a certain point, you have your health, you have your family, you're alive, you're living on the West Side. I don't know. At a certain point, you got to get on with it.
That's what you should do.
That.
That's what you should do. But if you feel, and I respect this, if you feel the country's in good hands, and but it, with what with the information you have, then you should do that. If on the other hand, if you are me, and you know what I know, and you have a 5-year-old and a 3-year-old. Then you should, and if somebody's willing to choke
yeah,
you.
Yeah, well, first mistake is being too into your kids. Because then yes, you have to do true. Everything. You have
well,
to worry
what
about
else
the
do I have?
That,
let's be
you
honest.
To, you have to worry
everything
about everything.
I do is coming from their eyes.
No,
so
look,
I live
in California, mm-hmm. and I hate Gavin Newsom, but I mm-hmm. live in California, and I'm going to work. I'm going to be fruitful. I'm going to enjoy myself. I'll enjoy my family. And
when does that start?
Starting a week from today. Because otherwise, I'd just be miserable. And I don't know there's a lot I could do about it.
I respect you. I respect what you're doing. 100%, that's good. That's good for you. But I have to do what I'm doing. And if it's just me, that's fine.
Okay. I'm saying I'd like, I don't know, I feel like you've earned a vacation. I feel like you, I feel, I just like to see you enjoying your
I enjoy
your
this.
Years.
Oh, I well, enjoy I enjoy this.
Yeah.
Well, if you enjoy
if a guy with $600 million chokes me, I got a pretty good fucking lawsuit. Let me just say that right now.
I agree. And
his wife slanders me publicly. Oh, my God. Damn
now, God. I'm not going to read the expose in the New Yorker.
It's unbelievable.
But I will be taking my chances because if I'm at a party and a conversation about Roma Downey breaks out, I'm going to be fucking staring at my drink.
I'm not even sure that is Roma Downey. I think it's a body double. I think the real Roma Downey's family got her out of there. It's pretty fucking crazy. By the way, Mark Burnett came to this country. He was on his way to, this is his own biography. He's on his way to Central America as a military expert to shoot people in Central America. He stopped at the border. He said, I'm scared. He became a Manny in Malibu. He worked under the table. Mark Burnett is what Donald Trump calls an illegal immigrant. He forged his own papers. He married a woman for a green card for a year. He's made $600 million in this country.
Roma Downey's not even from here, is she?
No, of course they aren't. That's why they hate America.
We got to build that wall, man.
That's the truth.
I don't want a bunch of Roma Downeys running around.
She does heal people. There's this whole weird Christian thing that she goes around and heals people. He talks about it, healing people.
Roma Downey
does. It's crazy.
Can we book her soon?
She should have healed that fucking bruise on her head. That was a nasty bruise.
Yeah, I don't.
There we go.
Oh, we're showing a picture of her, huh? What's it say? Roma Downey.
Yeah, got this bruise tonight when Tom Arnold tried to ambush me, my husband Mark, and me at a charity event. Is your TV show worth it, Tom? Please stop.
The irony after they did The Apprentice, was that worth it? Dude. Here's a crazy thing. You remember The Office, the show?
Sure.
Jenna Fisher? Mm-hmm. She was talking to her about 40 feet away. She saw Mark Burnett choking me. She's like, oh, my God, my husband is choking Tom Arnold. She ran into the scrum. Brian Fogel had his phone out filming, by the way, the documentary maker. She kicked his phone out of his hand. What are the odds? This is how I know there's God. I am with the guy that won the Oscar for the best documentary last year. Of all people in Hollywood to go to this party, he has his phone out filming. He doesn't know what he's filming. He's like, I'm going to film this party. We're not supposed to. My mother will see this. And that's when Mark Burnett decides to choke me.
Who would you rather be the president? Mark Burnett, Donald Trump, or Joey Buttafuoco?
Well, Nancy Pelosi is going to be the president.
Really?
Yes.
Wow.
Yes.
Deep poll.
She's getting her face is getting away from her hair.
It doesn't. She is a badass.
She's got to get her face closer to her
hair.
She's
a badass.
I say that for Republicans and Democrats alike.
Hey, listen, look at all those people out there. Look at all, they're all, but she's a badass, Nancy Pelosi.
Is she?
Yes.
What's she do? Why do we like her?
Well, I had the privilege probably the last 3 weeks before the midterms being fairly close to the, she's a positive person.
Is she going to be the president?
Yep,
she's going to.
Yeah.
Wow.
Hmm? What do you think?
like an order of succession kind of thing, or is she elected president?
No,
elected.
I think that
Speaker of the House.
I think she'd probably have to spin off and run right there in 2020. I think it's going to happen.
Does Vegas have odds on?
They do. I mean,
who's gonna be
who knows?
It's going to happen fairly quick.
I'll let you look into that, okay. Max Pat. I'll tell you guys about Simply Safe. Looking for home security? Let's say a high-powered producer may want to break into your home with special skills. SimplySafe.com/Adam. They got an amazing offer. Use our URL. It helps the show. SimplySafe.com/Adam. All right. Unfortunately, Tom.
Hold up. By the way, I owe him. If I see that guy, I owe him. He choked me at a party. Do you know that?
Go down
fuck
low
that guy.
And then up top.
Brother, you better not fucking, just man to man. I'm going to get him low, going to go low, and then fucking low. Clock him.
Right.
Fuck that guy. I was on the Bear Grylls show. That's his show, probably.
Dead Aunt is the name of the movie.
Oh, it's funny. This movie's so funny.
It is out
so
this Friday. And
why did I not talk about the movie before?
You can find
it's a really good movie.
And you can find it on demand.
It is a really good movie.
And there's a Busey.
As
oh,
well.
God. Jake Busey is so funny. He's so good.
Go to AdamCarolla.com if you need
so
anything else.
So good.
Good sports
so
coming
good
up
people.
Next. Joe
Sean
Coy
Astin.
Next.
Reese.
Reese.
Sydney.
Sydney. Joe yeah. Coy. Jeremy oh Schapp God. Calling in tomorrow.
Love Jeremy Schapp.
Love Jeremy Schapp as well.
Yeah, love his dad. Love
tell,
dads.
Until next time, Adam Carolla, Tom Arnold, Gina Grad, and Bald Ryan. And good sports next, saying yep. Mahalo.
I believe in God, but there is no God.
Stick around for today's episode of Good Sports with Dave Damashek and Adam Carolla. It's coming right up.
Hey, it's Adam Carolla. You may know him from putting his body on the line in Jackass, but now Johnny Knoxville is bringing you the wildest stories from the bravest folks he knows on his newest podcast, Pretty Sure I Can Fly. With his co-host, Elna Baker, they have incredible firsthand accounts from folks who surfed 100-foot waves, ride 600 miles per hour in a rocket sled, and wrestle crocodiles just for fun. They've been talking with brave souls who throw caution to the wind and push the boundaries of what humans are capable of. Or, as Johnny would say, they're talking to people who have more balls than a bowling alley. I'm Pretty Sure I Can Fly, Johnny and Elna bring you personal stories from unsung heroes that are part comedy, part adrenaline, and all heart. These are the inspirational, hold my beer stories that will make you want to grab the bull by the horns, literally and figuratively. Follow Pretty Sure I Can Fly on the Wondery app or wherever you get your podcast. You can listen to Pretty Sure I Can Fly right now, early and free, right now on Wondery Plus.
Ace and Shecky, let's do it. Good Sports.
The Podcast One Sports Network presents Good Sports.
Hi and hello, sports fans. Welcome to another episode of Good Sports. Dave Damashek here. Adam Carolla over there. Super Bowl 53 is nigh, or nigh. I think that means right now. So like a week and a half away. Either way.
No, I have it as, I don't look up nigh, but I have it as sort of upon us.
Yeah, it's here, basically. Yeah, I think that's what it means.
Near.
Okay. So that's right. So I actually said it right.
You're good.
Anywho, Ace, 17 years ago, the anniversary, or it is the 17-year anniversary of your trip, my trip, Kimmel, Sal, Baby Doll Dixon, Boehm, and so on, all went down to the Big Easy to watch one of the biggest upsets in pro football history. It's hard to believe that that would be the case. The New England Patriots vanquished the St. Louis Rams. How funny is that to think about that when you say that out loud? If you just were in a coma, if you fell into a coma in the year 2000. Mm. Hey, big upset, and then just woke up this year like, wait, the Patriots were an underdog to another NFL team? What? Also, the Rams. Yeah, they used to be in St. Louis for a while. What?
There was a couple of big plays from that game. Gary can look at it. But there's a couple big plays that were quietly would have changed the game that went another direction or would have by today's standards. When Kurt Warner threw a pick six, like mm-hmm. near the end of the first half or something yep. like that, really changed things around. He got clobbered in the head like somebody before the quarterbacks were
right.
being protected like they are today. He just took a big old like slap to the head when he threw it. And that one would have definitely come back in today's NFL. The other big
Yeah, good call. Yeah, you're right about
as
that.
As I recall that, Dylan or Gary can find it just to I haven't researched it or looked at, but I did recall Kurt Warner like just getting clubbed in
the Of course the reason they would have done that is because of the Tom Brady rule.
Ironically, the guy was on the other side of the football. Oh, we'll see if we can find a better angle on him taking the hands to
Guess what? Ty Law, also from the same neck of the woods as Mo Damashek, Beaver County, Aliquippa Quip. Yeah, there he
did. Just like whacked him in the he just whacked him in the face.
Mike Vrabel, coach of the Tennessee Titans, who belted him there.
Not many guys look better in a beard than Vrabel. So there was that play, which would have come back.
Right.
And then the crucial play at the end, they end up by winning with that 47 yard or so field goal. The Patriots had the ball. They have pretty much rookie quarterback in Tom Brady. You're thinking at that point, well, this isn't kind of unproven.
Whoa, I remember sitting there and saying to Sal, seated to my right, wow, we're going to be here for the first ever overtime game. Sal had other larger concerns. He was down in the dumps because of certain financial reasons. But anyway,
what were we
I was
all
excited.
Doing out there?
Kimmel, it was his farewell to Fox in the pregame things because he was moving on to ABC at that point. It was what was that, February of 2002, and so he went out there. And remember, the thing that's funny about that one as well is that was in the run-up to that. I don't remember if it was the immediate week before it or if it was the month before it, but it sort of was coming to a head that Howie Long and Jimmy were kind of at odds. He's like, you better – I remember there was like – hey, it was like delivered, remember, like, hey, because I remember talking in the hotel room before we went, like, so what's Jimmy, how far are you going to have to be kept away from Howie? Like, but legitimately, remember that? It wasn't
right, because he would never see him in person, because he would shoot all those remote things, like, at his house.
Yeah. So we went out there, and that was the week after the Steelers had been vanquished by those same Patriots in an upset, and I wasn't going to go. But then you left me my favorite voicemail of all time when you're like, Shaq, tickled Brown. Anyway, go ahead. Yes, with your memories.
There was another big play in that game. So when the Patriots got the ball, they got the ball with like a minute and a half or something left, unproven quarterback and underdog. And kind of thinking, well, maybe they should just hand the ball off three times, go to overtime, see if they can win it in overtime.
Yep, that's what Madden even said on the broadcast. He said, just, well, then we're going because they're not going to try to
Minute 21. There was a play where I think they threw like an out. They threw like a 10 or 12 yard out. The guy caught it inbounds and was tackled inbounds. And they stopped the clock. Like, he kind of rolled out of bounds. They've changed that rule a little bit, too. Like, they call everyone.
He plainly is out, right.
They call everyone inbounds, not on the catch, but on the stopping of the clock.
It was the Arizona State running back, their third down back, whose name I can't remember. It wasn't J.R. Redman, I don't think. But you're absolutely right. This isn't going to be the play. This might actually be the play, Ace. I think that's it right there. Yeah, we just got to it. The official is waving it dead or to stop the clock, but he doesn't come anywhere close to getting out of bounds. We certainly would have gone to overtime.
Right. So they would have called it tackled inbounds today. They would have run the clock with 33 seconds, and they would have went to OT. So funny how a little play like that was the difference between OT. I don't know if the Rams would have won an OT, but it was probably a 60-40 chance of the Rams winning an OT with the greatest show on turf and everything. But it's a little flare-out pass to the wide receiver, to the running back. He takes it down the sideline about 9 yards. He gets tackled with his knees down inbounds. They've sort of changed the rule that they keep it winding now. Like they
under
don't
two
go.
Minutes, they would have just stopped it, and they would have reviewed that and seen that he was inbounds, and they would have spun the clock from. They would have stopped it momentarily
and, they would
and
have,
restarted.
They wouldn't have been able to go and down and kick the field goal, and that's it. I mean, like that one little play.
Well,
right
listen,
there.
If you've ever seen I tweet them out all the time, the NFL, where I play the what if game with pro football, and those little things. And I mean, there's no bigger what if team than that first Patriots team, because, of course, the tuck rule goes in their favor when it really shouldn't have. Then also, it happens to be crazy that the Patriots, to his credit, Adam Vinatieri made those field goals. But go back and watch. He makes, I think it's a 47-yard or 43-yard or something like that to force overtime. To force overtime, was it? Yeah, it was to force overtime, I think, against the
Raiders.
Against the mighty Raiders, who were on their way to play Pittsburgh in the following week until that happened. It is one of the craziest physical deeds you'll see on a pro football field. That guy made that kick from that far away in what appears to be 10 inches of snow.
I don't know what the – I've never – Sheck, there's nobody more qualified than you on the planet. To finally answer this question, why was the tuck rule invented? We invent rules constantly because there's an issue with something happening, and we go, oh, we can't have that. We have the holy roller was Kenny the Snake Stabler being sacked, so with no time on the clock, so he threw the ball. Underhand,
yes,
forward.
Clearly, underhand. So you go, oh, I fumbled it. No, you didn't.
He just bowled it. He bowled the ball
forward. That's what he did. Bowling is
right. Dave Casper kicked it into the end zone, and eventually the Raiders won. And somebody went, well, we don't want any more of that.
Right.
If a guy's in the grasp and he's being sacked and there's no time on the clock, if he can't get a pass off, he can't just fumble forward 20 yards and have some.
I'm just filling right now because I can't recall the answer, but I do know it's owed to something. It's owed. It's you know, obviously it has to do with the intent to pass is what if he doesn't return to if he rightly was going to. Possess the ball. It was a pump fake. I think that's the message, but I don't know what the origin of the rule was, why they felt we have to establish. He wasn't trying to throw the ball. He was merely pumping and he was going to put it back into his offhand
Possession. Then he got stripped. This notion of it's like saying we have manslaughter and we have second degree murder. We need something in between. Why? Why do we need something in between? Either there was a mistake or you intended to do it, but you were drunk. You see quarterbacks get stripped all the time, all day, every day. They drop back, and that's the greatest defensive play ever. So if you can strip that guy. Now, I get the part where you're throwing the ball forward and the guy hits your arm, but that's an incomplete pass. Your ball was moving forward. Your arm is moving forward. I'm now attempting to put it back into my chest. And getting it stripped is called a strip ball.
Oh, I remembered why. It's because they decided before his sophomore season in the NFL that every call shall go for Tom Brady and the Patriots from here forward. That's
also,
why. I couldn't remember why.
I think Greg Beekert fell on it, and it shall be. There used to be a handful of Gregs in the
NFL.
What
about Ace Carolla with the Greg Beekert pull? Very
deep
nice.
Cut. There'll be no more guys named Greg in the NFL. Greg, the name is dead anyway, especially in the NFL.
Greg. All right, good stuff there. We'll have more hot sports talk for you tomorrow. In the meantime, for Adam Carolla, Dave Damashek, good sports out. Good
sports. And follow the Adam Carolla Show on Twitter at Adam Carolla Show. Follow Ace on Twitter at Adam Carolla. You can leave us a voicemail at 888-634-1744. And for tickets and info on everything, Adam Carolla is unprepared. The Basic Cable Classic this Thursday night at Irvine. Bald Brian Socks and the 10 E-Booze and Book Club. Just go online to adamcarolla.com.